So the sermon title this morning aims us in a bit more practical and explanatory direction. What is a sabbatical? So I'm here today, I think, and I'll be here next Sunday as well. Then after that, I'll be away for 12 weeks. This time away is called a sabbatical. And so what I'd like to do today is talk just a little bit about what sabbaticals are and why congregations plan for pastor sabbaticals. Our reading today from John's Gospel reminds us who we are. We are the sheep who are loved and led and cared for by God. Though we live in a culture with lots of loud voices that try their best to get our attention, we listen for one voice, the voice of the risen Christ. Now, other voices seek to harm us or distract us or use us in one way or another, but not so with the voice of Christ, our shepherd. He is the one who leads us into more life, life abundant, and life to the full. And this close relationship to the risen Christ reminds us that we have our lives in him and from him. He is the gate. He is our way forward. And that means that all leaders in the congregation, especially pastors like me, better learn to lead with great humility. It also means that congregations have to learn to relate realistically to leaders and pastors as those whose only authority is the authority to simply point to the goodness and the grace and the beauty of the risen Christ. That's it. Before I came here as your pastor in the middle of 2012, our session had already adopted a sabbatical policy for pastors. So this is fairly recent for this congregation. So I, at least in recent memory, you have never had a pastor go on sabbatical, and I've never taken one. So this will be a new experience for both of us. Now, it wasn't the reason that I accepted this call. I wasn't looking for a congregation who had a sabbatical policy, but I will admit that I was impressed by what this sabbatical policy symbolized, what it conveyed to me. And what it symbolized is that this is a congregation with good leadership, a congregation with long-term vision, a generous congregation, people who have a commitment to emotional health for both pastor and congregation. That was meaningful to me, and it still is. So last summer, I made a request to the session to take sabbatical time this summer, and we talked about it and prayed over it and agreed, to move forward with that plan. And so for all this past year, we've been making plans for how it would go. And so what I want to do is kind of respond to a few questions that you might have. And several of these I've heard in conversations, and they're good questions, all right? So first, a boring one, what is a sabbatical, right? What is this, all right? First, the official sort of definition from the PCUSA website, quote, sabbatical leave for pastors is a planned time of intensive enhancement for ministry and mission. This extended time is qualitatively different from vacation or days off. We'll get to how it's different in a minute. It's an opportunity for the pastor to strategically disengage from the regular normal tasks so that ministry and mission can be viewed from a new perspective because of a planned time of focus. That was a mouthful, right? So that's the sort of official sounding definition of what a sabbatical is. This language of sabbatical comes from just the Bible's Sabbath language. It grows out of notions of Sabbath, the idea of that there's a Sabbath day within the week, a day for rest after work. The Bible has notions of a Sabbath year, every seventh year, a time for rest, to rest the land, to release your slave, to forgive the debts. So more and more congregations are encouraging their pastors to take sabbaticals. But still, it's a practice that requires deep faith in God on the part of the congregation. Faith that God will sustain us through a period of reflection and change and renewal. A time that God will sustain us through the time that our pastor isn't here with us. Now, pastors definitely benefit from sabbatical leaves. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But congregations do too. You can read, if you're interested in this and how it works and where it works and how it's been done, you can read lots more about it at pcusa.org. But I just want to mention a few positive benefits to congregations when their pastors go away for a short time, okay? First, sabbaticals help congregations discover the strength of lay leadership that is often underutilized. So this is a good time for you all as the people of the congregation to reclaim your own proper strength and giftedness and leadership and agency. The second benefit, sabbaticals help both pastors and congregations find new understandings of their shared mission. Often this time of disconnect and then reconnect, it provides fresh insight, both for the pastor and for the congregation, about areas of ministry that are central and defining to who we are as a congregation. We do lots of different things, but often this is kind of a sifting, sorting time to figure out these are the things that God has really called us to be doing together. Third thing I'll mention, sabbaticals can reinvigorate both the pastor and the congregation and reaffirm their calling to ministry as God's people together. That is, we part ways for a short time, then we reconnect for a new chapter in our relationship between a pastor and the congregation. So beginning the week of May 21st, I will be away for 12 Sundays. I have plans. I've given it to our session and to our committee on ministry of John Calvin Presbytery for how I will invest that time. There are also extensive plans in place for ministry and worship here, the rhythms of our lives, how we live together. Then at the end of that time, I'll come back and we'll share our stories and our experiences, and we'll move forward, hopefully with fresh perspective, as people who are loved by God and called to ministry together in this place. That's how it's designed, okay? Another question you might have. So do you think your job's harder than everyone else's? Is that why you're taking a sabbatical? Because pastors think their jobs are so much tougher than everyone else's? Well, I was reading some arguments for pastor sabbaticals written by denominational leaders and pastors and ministry consultants, and they all tend to be rather dramatic, I think. They all emphasize the stress of pastoral work, the emotional demands of being a pastor, of living with people in all kinds of life circumstances and through success and heartbreak and all that. They go on and on about how difficult it is to be on as a leader all the time and how that can be draining, and the fact that we're always on call, we're always available, blah, blah, blah. Okay, some of that's true, right, for the work I do, but that's true for not just my job, for lots of your jobs. Lots of you know what that feels like. So here's what I think. I think that my job is not harder than your job. I think that my job is not any more stressful than other kinds of jobs. I think my job is just different. Right? So think about it like this, or this is how I think of your work. Farming is hard. Teaching kids is hard. Running a business is hard. Providing health care, mental health care, social services, that's hard. Working in law enforcement is hard. Interfacing with customers and clients is hard. Sales jobs are hard. On and on and on, right? If I didn't get your job, I think everybody's job is hard in one way or another. So I don't think there's all that much to this argument that pastors deserve sabbatical time away because their jobs are so much harder or more stressful than everyone else's. Instead, I have come to think that more and more congregations are implementing sabbatical plans for pastors because experience with it has shown that it benefits both the congregation and the pastor in the long run. So my job isn't harder than yours, but there are a couple of ways that my work is probably different than some of the work that you do. Let me mention those, right? So one of the things that makes my job a little bit different is that when I'm not fully present, right, when I'm not here and emotionally available to people, the quality of what I do, the quality of my leadership, and the quality of my pastoral care goes, it really suffers, right? And I bet a few of you, maybe more than a few of you sitting here, have had those experiences with me, right? And you went home thinking, wow, he was not at his best today, right? That has happened, right? A time or two. I don't mean that all other kinds of work can be done while you're sleepwalking or drunk or depressed or whatever, right? That's not what I mean. I just mean that the kinds of things that I need to do to be a good and wise pastor, they're pretty difficult to do if I'm not healthy and if I'm not actually present. The other thing that's different about my job is that it affects my family in a pretty significant way. Now, for me to be available to all of you all the time, that is just part of my job and my calling and my work as a pastor. But it also means that my family has gotten accustomed, unfortunately, to me missing lots of stuff, lots of nights and weekends and meetings and trips. Sometimes I cancel them, sometimes I delay them or move them or whatever. Now, I love my work as a pastor. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love it. But I tell you what, I would never, ever in my life want to be a pastor's spouse or a pastor's kid. Never. That does not seem fun. So, I'll talk more next week about what I'll be doing while I'm away, but one of the things I'm going to try to do is simply not cancel or miss things that are important to my family, and that'll be good. Another question you might have, and I've gotten asked this one. So, are you thinking about leaving? Will you use this time to explore other job options? Okay, that's a real worry. The answer is no. Both the PCUSA, our denomination, and our congregation have framed pastor sabbaticals in a very particular way. They're framed as a healthy way to extend and deepen relationships between the pastor and this congregation. So in order to take sabbatical time, a pastor, in this case me, a pastor promises to return and serve the congregation after the sabbatical is over. This is a very important piece of sort of the covenant between the pastor and the congregation that makes sure that the focus of the sabbatical is the renewing of the pastoral relationship for service in that congregation in that place. So my friend and colleague down at First Presbyterian in Pittsburgh, many of you know him, K.O. Nunu, great guy. We travel a lot together here and there, so we have time to talk. We talked a couple of years ago as he was talking about his sabbatical, and that was an important conversation for me, convinced me of how important sabbatical time is. And this is how K.O. put it. He said there's a real wall that pastors hit after serving a congregation for several years, 4, 5, or 6 years. And that's the time that many pastors will leave and take a new call. So the question is, why does it happen around that time, 4, 5, 6 years in? Well, think about it like this. And so I've been here 5 years, right? So as a pastor, you've played your bag of tricks. You've led a few changes. You've had a chance to communicate the good news. You get my shtick. You know how I do this, right? And now the congregation knows who you are. They know what you do and how you do it. The congregation has become painfully and obviously aware at this point that you are not magic. And any illusions that you were going to fix things on a large scale or small has now disappeared. Those dreams have faded. The honeymoon's over. Right? And that's a very tempting time for pastors to say, well, I've given all I got. They got the best shot I had. I'm out. It's time to move on. But as K.O. put it, that wall, that barrier, that marker, wherever it happens, is a kind of blockage. And sabbatical time away is designed to help pastors and congregations move through that wall, to come out of it on the other side and renegotiate a new chapter in the life of the relationship between the pastor and the congregation that's life-giving for both. And if that can happen, a renewed relationship, then the pastor-congregation relationship can then press to some new depths and accomplish some things that could not have happened in the first phase of life and leadership together. So just like marriages and friendships, other relationships have to evolve and change through different phases of life, so do relationships between pastors and congregations. But those sort of deepening, maturing moments don't happen if pastors leave when things get hard, right? Another question you might have. Are you taking a sabbatical now because you're just utterly wiped and burnt out? Have you had it? Fair question. I'd answer it like this. I'm a 46-year-old guy married with 3 kids between 17 and 10. Of course I'm burnt out. I wake up burnt out every morning. That's not the question, right? That's just my life. It has very little to do with my job. And lots of you, you know, like me, are in the thick of the midlife crisis. You get this, right? So no, the answer is I'm not taking a sabbatical at this time because I'm burnt out. I'm taking it because sabbaticals are a form of preventive health. That's how they're designed. They're supposed to happen at an interval of somewhere between 4 and 6 years, and so they're designed to forestall and limit the effects of burnout. They hopefully don't let you get that deep into a crisis. The emotional health of both pastors and congregations is extremely important, and when pastors or congregations sacrifice health and rest and care for some goal, like, you know, you name it, whatever it is, success or efficiency or growth or whatever, bad things usually happen at that point. When congregations and pastors fail to care for each other, something's usually going to break, and it's going to be ugly. So do I really need to make a list for you of pastors, leaders, clergy people who have experienced moral breakdowns, moral failures, who have taken ethical shortcuts, engaged in manipulative and damaging leadership styles, or in abusive and reckless behavior? No, I don't need to list those because you know how that can happen. It happens all the time. But short sabbaticals are a great way for pastors to recharge, renew, and refocus. And I love what I do. I love to communicate. I love to lead and guide and strategize. I love to read and think. I love to be with people to share both the ups and the downs, the successes that you all have, and the moments of heartache too. But of course, we pastor types face some specific temptations. We can come to think of ourselves as extremely important to the life and health of the congregation. John 10 is a good antidote to that. I'm not your good shepherd. We pastor types can fall into thinking things like, well, I'm the one here who needs to help fix all these problems, everyone's problems. And sometimes we don't take very good care of ourselves in caring for other people. Sometimes we keep giving when we're out of gas and should probably pull back a bit. We keep living in rhythms that are hard for our families. And so it is an amazing and a wonderful gift to have a few months to tend to my own health and to my family and to do a few things that my regular rhythms don't normally allow. So my friend Greg Free from First Presbyterian in Nevada reminded me to say this to you today. He said, be sure and communicate clearly that sabbaticals have a disconnect and a reconnect moment. So it is important to be honest that this is a disconnect. I won't be available over the course of these 12 weeks in the same way that I am normally, but that we will reconnect. The whole thing is designed to reconnect, to come back together, to share what happened on my side, to share what your experience was in being the church together. So these are a few questions I wanted to get to today, and I want to invite you to send me other questions you might have. And next week in the sermon, I'll do my best to answer them so you can write them down on a Connect card and put them in the offering plate. You can call me, email me, catch me today, whatever. Also next week, I want to talk a little bit more detail about what I'm doing when I'm away, what's going on in the congregation during these 12 weeks, and then some of the bumps in the road that we can prepare for. So finally, let me end with this. I want to challenge all of you as the congregation to invest in our work together, to reconnect, to grow, to lead, to become the person that God's called you to be, to take ownership and responsibility for the life and ministry of this congregation. You can model your strength, your abilities, your identity as a community who shares a powerful, life-giving mission. You are more than just a bunch of people with a pastor. You are a community full of gifts and strengths and capacities. You know the voice of the one who leads you into life that is full. Let's follow that voice together. Amen.